In this episode, we hear from Charmaine, who talks all about her work with continence, sleep, and behavior, how her work has changed over the pandemic, and all the stuff she is now doing to support families.
A massive thank you to Provide, who are sponsoring Series 5 of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. They are a community interest company offering services across Essex, providing outstanding care. And if you want to find out more about them, please visit their website at www.provide.org.uk.
Okay, Charmaine, could you just start by telling us a bit about your background and also what inspired you to become a nurse?
Yeah, of course. So my background is community nurse specialist for children with a learning disability and complex needs. And I've been working with children and adults through to older people for about 25 years now. So it makes me feel really old, so we'll skip that part. My background is working with families, children, families, and schools, nurseries, colleges, wherever sort of the need may be. I suppose I've sort of always been in and around hospitals, helping people sort of from when I was really young, really. Yeah, sort of when I remember sort of being as a child, we'd sort of go on holiday and we'd sort of check into wherever it was, and then we'd check out to see where the local hospital was just to make sure that they had everything we needed, because my dad was quite poorly when sort of growing up. So I sort of been around sort of hospitals and knew sort of how things sort of worked, and I don't know, just sort of, I suppose that's sort of where I sort of come from it all, really. And sort of growing up, I used to babysit for a little boy who actually attended Marketfield. So I used to look after him. He had complex needs. And I think that sort of inspired me, really. I sort of made sure that my school placement was at Marketfield School. So,
yeah, and obviously that's how I'm aware of you as well, obviously through that kind of school link. And it's interesting, whenever I speak to people who are involved in health, it is that kind of key line of, like, we just want to help people. That seems to be...
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously helps with the role. So tell us a bit more about, I guess, the key parts of your role now. And then maybe also we could discuss a little bit about how that might have changed in the last 18 months with COVID. So what kind of takes up most of your time, would you say?
So the sort of key parts of my role are sort of what I focus on: continence, sleep, and behaviour. So that sort of involves either sort of direct work with families. So that would be sort of an assessment. So either looking at continence and behaviour, sleep and behaviour, or behaviour depth on its own. And some sort of families, I'm not sort of sure, when I sort of say behaviour, they sort of envisage sort of extreme behaviour outbursts, which I do support families through that as well. But it also involves supporting families who maybe their children are finding it difficult to actually eat. So they can only eat certain foods, certain textures of foods. They'll only tolerate that type of food. And obviously the impact of that then obviously has on their physical health and their continence and obviously their sleep. That's why I sort of try to look at the whole child. So I'm not just looking at one particular part. So not just like their toileting, although that's a huge part of what I do, and not just their sleep, because actually the continence impacts the sleep, and you know, it just, yeah, it's trying to sort of look at all the areas, really.
Yeah. And has your work changed at all, the way you work changed at all with COVID?
Yes. So pre-COVID, all my appointments were face to face. So I would hop in the car or hop on the train if it was a longer distance sort of appointment. And then it just meant that I could only sort of see maybe one family because of the travel and that type of thing. And then obviously when COVID hit, obviously everybody sort of pulled back. And then I sort of changed the way I worked, and then took it all online. And now it's just sort of quite crazy. I sort of saw a family last week in Italy, the week before in Spain. I see families in Scotland, Lake District, you know, as well as local families as well. So it's just sort of, and what's really lovely, like this morning, I had an appointment with a family doing a sleep and behaviour assessment. And it meant that because we were online, I was able to meet with mum, but dad was at work. So he then hopped onto the same link, so we're all able to actually have the meeting, and he was able to get involved as well. Whereas before, if I was going face to face, it would mean that I may have met with just mum or just dad, and then it wouldn't, you know. So some of the questions, for example, mum was like, no, that's not a problem, and then dad went, well, actually it is, but you're asleep, so you didn't know. And do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely, it's opened up the ways that we can work. I think we've obviously, most of our work's done with young people, and we've been able to reach some young people who may be home educated because of kind of virtually being able to work as well. So that definitely resonates. I'm just interested as well, Charmaine, you said obviously you've been working kind of all over, so different areas and different countries. Do you notice any things that are quite different from maybe different countries or areas, or is it all kind of the same meat?
No, it's yeah, I was having this conversation the other day actually in a group that I was in. It's actually quite sad in some ways. So sort of family that I'm working with in Italy, you know, they could be a family down the road. It's very similar situations, very similar scenarios. It's just sort of, it's the same situation, but different town, different country. Yeah, it's quite sad, really.
Yeah.
But at least, the help's available. And that's what I always say, that, you know, this support is available. It's just families knowing how to find you. And
I guess, yeah, building on that, we know that a lot of families will go to their schools to look at kind of extra support because, you know, then that might be for some families their kind of safer place. And when people think of school, sometimes they do just think of education, and children tell us that as well. So why is your work, you know, so important as part of kind of children's education, would you say?
I think for several reasons, really, but that sometimes when I'm sort of doing a sleep assessment, for example, part of that assessment, I'll liaise with the school to sort of discuss how they are in school. And, you know, the school will say, and even the families will say, well, you know, don't need to speak to the school because, you know, they're not sleeping at school. But it's just sort of how, you know, what's actually happening in the day has a direct impact on what's happening at night. And the same with toileting, for instance. If the child isn't sort of drinking regularly, so if they haven't got opportunities to drink, or with the children that I support, when they're sort of complex needs and their sensory needs, and we're looking at sort of like their internal processes, you know, interoception, the child isn't actually aware of when they're thirsty. So they're not actually going to say, excuse me, can I have a drink? So, you know, they need to have that support in drinking in the day so then that they can go to the loo regularly. And also that sort of impacts on bed wetting and all of that. So it's so important to sort of get, you know, I think sometimes it's about people understanding sort of how our body works. And that's a lot of what I do. I try and help families understand how the body works, get schools to understand how the body works. So then you know that actually what you're doing in the day is really having a big impact on that child and family.
Yeah. We go into lots of schools and talk around mental health, and something we use a lot is about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And obviously talking about those basic needs, first of all, making sure we're getting them right. And obviously you mentioned lots of that, but we also talk about how that can sometimes be harder for children and families who may have additional needs. In your line of work, Charmaine, how does that kind of make things a bit more difficult if somebody does have an additional need, would you say?
Yeah, so it's in several areas. I suppose it's the child actually, you know, not being aware of their, you know, like they're thirsty, that they are not aware that they actually need to go to the toilet. So, for example, I was working with a child where the family were desperate for them to be toilet trained. They'd tried everything. They'd tried every book, every program you could imagine, you know, Googled everything. They tried everything. But this child was having lots of soiling accidents and wetting accidents. And obviously they were doing that in school, which meant that the Senko was then their role one of their roles was actually to support the child once he had soiled or wet to go and change, or call the school, call the family to come and pick the child up. So then he was missing school because he needed to be changed because there was no one available. So the school was saying, can you toilet train? The family are saying, I'm trying. And it was just sort of this battle. But once I'd got involved and did the comprehensive assessment, we found that actually he was constipated and he had no control over his bowel movements. He wasn't doing it on purpose. And I think it's just this understanding that when soiling or wetting, they're not doing it on purpose. It's they have no control about that. And actually, that particular child needed a disimpaction regime, medication, and then a toilet plan, and then he can toilet in both areas. So it's almost like, and that's where I think that sort of joint linking in with schools is so important. Because if schools are aware of, like I say, how the body works, then they would know that actually, you know, the family are doing everything they can. It's just that it's outside of their control. They need a bit of extra help.
Yeah, definitely. And there's some really good examples you've given there. And I'm sure there's going to be, you know, you've spoke about the long hours that you're working at the moment, Charmaine, as well. And there's going to be a need out there. So there could potentially be parents listening to this who are experiencing some of the issues you mentioned. So if they want to go and look you up and look out, you know, more about the service you offer, how can they go and do that?
Yeah, so I've got my Facebook page that they can sort of see, they can contact me through. They can sort of see what sort of support is available. I'm actually just in the finishing processes of putting a online course together for families and schools. So it's sort of Achieving Poo Success. So that's coming out soon. And that's sort of looking at the physical side of things, communication and sensory. So it's looking at all of that to be sort of successful. So that's sort of coming out. So Facebook, you've got my YouTube channel. I've got lots of free videos on there for families that they're more than welcome to access. And obviously, if they've got any questions, then obviously they can send messages. I've also on Instagram, LinkedIn and Health Unlocked. So I've got lots of ways of contacting. And also I've published two books as well. So if families wanted to be able to implement some of the approaches themselves, if they just sort of think, do you know what, I just want to do it myself, that's fine, got that available. And also Social Story that I've done or put together for children and young adults to help them understand the whole toileting process. So there's lots of things that are available.
Charmaine, so I'm going to be a little bit more annoying now. I'm just going to ask, what's the name of the Facebook page firstly?
So it's Continence Consultant and Trainer.
Fantastic. And the YouTube channel?
YouTube channel is Charmaine Champ.
And the Instagram page?
Is Continence Consultant and Trainer.
And obviously they can search the books on things like Amazon and stuff. And
Yes, it's available on Amazon. The Bladder and Bowel Assessment Pack, a guide for carers and professionals. And the Social Story is Bobby Can Use the Toilet.
Fantastic, thank you. And I would definitely recommend around the Social Stories as well, because I know that lots of schools and learners have really benefited from those as well. So thank you so much for giving up your time and talking to us today, Charmaine. I'm sure lots of people will be interested and will be in touch probably following this as well. So thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Cheers.
A massive thank you to Provide, who are sponsoring Series 5 of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. They are a community interest company offering services across Essex, providing outstanding care. And if you want to find out more about them, please visit their website at www.provide.org.uk.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start